Rich, now from this you say God knew something media planners do not think about enough. What do you mean by that? And can we, let's explore that a bit more.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea that it's referring to, obviously, is the idea of putting a giant, brand new celestial body right above your chosen location, which probably wasn't the first answer that you would think of if you were approaching that as a pure media planner. If you want to get some thought leaders to trek miles and miles and miles on camels to visit your hotel, then you're going to have to do something pretty special. And I think that's because we're releasing this epiphany, which is obviously the time when lots of people think about that particular part of the Bible story. It's a great example of not thinking in terms of efficiency about the message, but in terms of thinking about stature and what the actual chosen media for communication actually says about what it is that you're trying to advertise. And I think if you look over like the sort of last long time now, but the sort of trend has been to grow spend in environments like the social feed and search results, both of which are excellent channels for various reasons. But if you think about it from a point of view of what is the decision to appear in this place saying about my brand, it becomes a little harder to explain. There's a lot of very rational reasons why you would appear there. But in terms of like, you know, it doesn't, what does that choice actually communicate about your brand? And does that choice even matter? These are the kind of things that we were thinking about, myself and Ian Murray and Andrew Tenzer from First Your Bubble, who I did the research with. People often, like I said, everyone says the media is the message. It's a well-known phrase, but that's not been, or is not a lot of people have thought about trying to quantify if that's true, and if so, to what degree, sort of the starting point, really. And that sort of Bible story kind of, I quite like it, because when you think about it, the ad format that's chosen, this giant star, it's not even, it's just a star, isn't it? It's like there's no creative, there's not a message attached to it. It doesn't have writing in neon lights on it or anything like that. It's literally just by doing something so spectacular, people instantly attach a level of importance to what it is that you're trying to communicate.
I think that medium is the message. Yeah, it does sound great as a phrase, but trying to delve into what does that actually mean in a day-to-day and how do consumers see different media channels is a really interesting thing that I think media planners might need to look at in a slightly different way than maybe they have been doing previously. So you talk in the research about signal strength. Why, we've kind of touched on this a bit, but can you explain what a bit more signal strength, what makes good signal strength?
The reason why we use signal strength is because all of this research that we've done is born out of the theory of costly signaling. The most famous example of costly signaling that you might have heard of is the peacock and its tail feathers. So Charles Darwin hated peacocks because if you think about the world in purely Darwinian terms, the peacock shouldn't exist. Having a really heavy, cumbersome set of tail feathers should have disadvantaged the peacock to the point where it had become extinct, or over time had evolved into something less likely to get eaten, basically. But the peacock survives and is the exception to the sort of Darwinist way of thinking about nature, because the very fact that it can survive with such an incredible set of tail feathers is this amazing signal to potential mates that it is basically an incredible specimen, and its incredibleness, you know, its ability to survive is likely to be passed out. So it's a costly signal in that, you know, it's got cumbersome and heavy tail feathers every single day, but it's when it comes to what matters, that signal stands that peacock in good stead. And so what we set out to do was try and show in a kind of real world environment, or as close to a real world environment as we could simulate, same thing happens in advertising through the media that you choose. Now, there was a lot of sort of dusty college-based, lab-based research about this sort of behavioral science from way back in the day, but Ian and Andrew worked with ThinkBox in 2020 to actually bring this into the real world and prove that it exists through their original paper signaling success, where they showed that different channels were able to exert a different level of kind of power on consumer perception, so that if you stripped away everything about a brand and just controlled for everything apart from the media choice the brand made, knowing the choice that the brand had made in terms of what media it was going to buy led consumers to have very different levels of brand perception about the brand. And that is what we call signal strength, the ability to which the media channel is able to change people's perception about the brand when you control for every other characteristic, such as brand size, the creative message, the amount of money being spent overall, etc.